Good afternoon. It's 3 o'clock, and you are tuned to KTOO News in Juneau here with on the Juneau afternoon for Thursday, September 1st, the year 2011. Jeff Brown with you here today. Today we're going to be listening to an interview between Andy Klein and Bear Puncher Brooke Collins. Steve McPeters and Father George Slattys will be here to highlight the grand opening activities at the Church of the Holy Trinity. We'll find out about a free workshop on becoming a U.S. citizen with Heather Parker from the Learning Connection. We'll also talk with organizers of the Art of Recovery exhibit opening Friday at the Silver Bow. And Nancy DeTrini will be here with news and views about local art during Arts Up. It's today on Juneau afternoon. The forecast for tonight, mostly cloudy skies, patchy fog later on, low temperatures around 47 degrees with light winds. Slight chance of rain predicted for tomorrow morning.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. An American Indian group is not happy that eagle feathers were buried with two Rapid City police officers killed in the line of duty last month. The state's U.S. attorney says no laws were broken. South Dakota Public Broadcasting's Gary Ellenbolt reports.
Rapid City officers James Ryan McCandless and Nick Armstrong were fatally shot while responding to a complaint in a neighborhood. One of the people they were talking to allegedly pulled out a gun and opened fire. The suspect was shot by police and died the next day. At the funerals of both McCandless and Armstrong, tribal police officers placed eagle feathers in their caskets to honor the two for their service. Representatives of the Black Hills Sioux Nation Treaty Council say that move was illegal. They contend anyone who is not a member of a federally recognized tribe cannot possess an eagle feather. A council delegate later asked Rapid City Police Chief Steve Allender to return the feathers. Allender checked with U.S. Attorney Brendan Johnson, who says the tribal officers who provided the feathers had the legal right to do so.
We had enrolled members of a federally recognized tribe who were practicing, exercising their religious rights by placing the eagle feathers in the casket of the fallen officers. So that's not a federal violation. In fact, that is the free exercise of religion that these Native American police officers were exercising. And so that's certainly a protected act.
A third officer who was shot in the altercation survived and has since returned to duty. For National Native News, I'm Gary Ellenbold.
The U.S. Secretary of Health and Human Services and the Director of the Indian Health Service traveled to Alaska and met with tribal health leaders this week. KNBA's Jocelyn Estes has more.
Secretary Kathleen Sebelius says what she's seeing firsthand lines up with what she's heard about Alaska's high costs and great needs.
But also just the fact that we have never, as a government, fulfilled our tribal commitments that were part of the treaty arrangements. That's an historic gap. It's one that the president's very aware of, that, you know, I as secretary am very aware of, and that we're moving in the right direction. It's slower than we would like.
South Central Foundation serves natives in the Anchorage area and several villages. SCF President and CEO Catherine Gottlieb told Sebelius features such as easy access to same-day appointments and to traditional healing have led to big drops in emergency and urgent care visits and some health improvements at 63% the cost of other providers. Gottlieb says the SCF model would work elsewhere as long as care providers listen to their customers.
What would you change? That's what we asked. And those things that they asked us for, we changed.
Sebelius's trip will include a visit to Anaktuvuk Pass, a predominantly Nunamute Eskimo village in Arctic Alaska. In Anchorage, I'm Jocelyn Estes.
The battle to get the upper hand on wildfires on the Warm Springs Reservation enters a second week today. Fire managers say the flames could be contained by Labor Day. KWSO's Will Robbins reports.
Afternoon winds gusting to 30 miles an hour at times pushed the week-old flames through rangeland, grass, and timber Wednesday afternoon as firefighters continue to grapple with constantly changing conditions. A total of 1,500 firefighters and support personnel are on the scene. Some of the crews have been tasked with protecting culturally sensitive natural resource areas on the western portion of the reservation. Ada Takas is with the Blue Mountain Management Team.
You know, anytime we come into an area, and of course, we want to do whatever the community needs, and we get very thick documents that tell us what the priorities are. And we review these documents. We know we've been told by Warm Springs that this is what is important to us, and those are our priorities. And every single management decision that our teams make are based around those priorities.
The multiple fires covering more than 76,000 acres are now 15% contained and projected to be fully contained by Monday. I'm William Robbins in Warm Springs, Oregon.
On this day in 1911, an executive order was issued to set aside land in New Mexico for Jaime's Pueblo. This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kiwanis Broadcast Corporation, with offices in Anchorage, Alaska. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, and the Ford Foundation. Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
Time is 3:05 and you are tuned to KTOO News in Juneau here on a Juneau afternoon. First interview is going to be produced by Andy Klein. He's been talking with bear puncher Brooke Collins, and it's about a recent experience of hers.
Oh, yes, the eye of the tiger, looking into that bear's eye. We've got Brooke Collins in the studio with us right now. I'm so excited, Brooke, that you're here. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's awesome. Now, also, Regan O'Toole. Regan, man, thanks for coming in. Appreciate it.
Thanks.
Many of us know Regan as a Clevermore bassist, but in his alternate universe now. You guys are kind of having an alternate universe since this bear-punching incident, but we'll talk about that in a minute, like all the swirl and all the kind of... It's just wild, right, when this stuff happens in this world we live in today. But, Brooke, tell me, first of all, you know... A little bit about what was happening Sunday night.
Well, I let out my two small dogs to...
Get a pom?
I got a Pomeranian named Toki and a dachshund named Fudge.
And the dachshund named Fudge is the dog in question here.
Yes.
Okay. Now, is Fudge... I saw the picture in the paper. Is Fudge a little older?
Yes.
Okay, so very protective of Fudge. Right? Okay. So what happened? So you just let them out of the back door or something like that, or?
Well, usually I look around before I let them out because we do get lots of bears and coyotes at my house. And I don't know if she knew it was there or not, but she darted out before I could stop her and started barking. And then I heard her crying, and so I ran out there as fast as I could and saw the bear. Had a hold of her, and...
Now, that must have been... That's terrible. I have a dog. That's like the worst... That's sort of your nightmare scenario. You know, a bear's going to get a hold of your dog, right? I mean... And so you kind of let it out, and you heard this... You immediately kind of heard this... I mean, the bear must have been just kind of right there, almost,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it was very close to our friend.
They're so... they're so much a part of, like, the woods, though. They just... You can barely know they're there, you know, even though they're... They're hanging there. Okay, so you hear the thing, you look out, what do you see?
The bear has its paws on her back and on her head and is biting the back of her neck.
Oh.
And it looks like he's tearing into her, like, you know, kind of how they eat salmon.
Or if they got a large hot dog, that's how they would eat a hot dog.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and my dog's just screaming, and the bear's growling and snarling, and I start screaming for Regan, and I don't know what to do, but he can't watch it, so I just ran up to it thinking that would scare it away, and I got within inches of it, and I don't even know if it noticed me, and I just kind of reached out and hit it right in the snout, and... It let go.
Right in the kisser.
Right.
Just got up in his business. And just, wow, that's exciting. But it must have, I mean, I got to think that like for 2 hours later, you must have been like, you know what I mean? Right, it must have been just,
So. No, there was a lot of, did that really happen? No.
And, I mean, so here's the million-dollar question that everyone wants to know. How did it feel?
it was crazy. I don't know what I was thinking or anything. It happened so fast that I just couldn't believe that I did it at all.
Like, what I want to know is how did that actual bear feel against your fist? Was it mushy or... It was gross.
I smelled really bad after that. I had to wash all my clothes. It was gross. I had bear fur all over me, and I think it might have been kind of wet out, too, so it was like that wet bear smell.
That was going to be my question. Did it just stink to high heaven?
It did. I just had to wash all my clothes. It wouldn't.
That bear stink won't come off. I got bear stink all over me. Fudge! I've got bear stink on me because of you. And so let's talk. So fudge is basically okay, a little nicked up, but
yeah. Looking
okay.
Yeah. If we're making sure she doesn't get infected.
Yeah,
so.
Right. But just a couple of lacerations on the back? Like, do you think from teeth or from paws or both?
Both. Yeah. Definitely. She's got some scratches on like her back legs, which I'm thinking is claws. And then, of course, the ones around her neck that are bare.
Tough little wiener dog, though. Yes. Tough little wiener dog. I mean, they are tough dogs, right? I mean, those things are, you know, bred to go down into holes and get rats and stuff, right? They're amazing little tenacious dogs. I think, are they terriers? I think maybe wiener dogs are terriers.
They're kind of like houndy type dogs.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. Dachshund. Dachshund. Okay. Okay, it's a hound. Well, and so that's the incident. That's what happened.
Uh-huh.
So how did this story get out?
well, I work at a salon, and of course, like...
Well, okay, you can say no more.
Well, my dachshund got so scared when I picked her up after the bear kind of ran off. She bit my face. She was just freaking out.
She's like, I'm just over the place.
So scared. She bit me. And I have some nice marks on my face. So, of course, when I go to work, my boss is, what happened?
Yeah. You're like, well, I was bear wrestling. What do you think happened?
No, nobody believed me.
And that thing in a chokehold, giving him the business up in there.
And Sandy, my boss, she was doing a friend's hair, and they were joking about it, and she actually went and emailed the Empire to do it, and it just blew out of proportion to that.
Yeah, so, okay, so, and then I should also, I'm remiss in asking, you know, you've got a little mark on your hand, too, from hitting the bear, is that from, like, the tooth, maybe, or something?
Yeah, tooth or claw, it actually
hurts really
badly.
Wow, look at that.
Really
oh, yeah.
Yeah, the bear nipped at her.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And this, let's describe the bear. This was a big, kind of a male, maybe, but big guy.
Yeah, huge. It's one that frequents our area.
It's not a small black
bear. Yeah, and we were talking earlier, it's not been a good year for bears because it's been low berry season. I've had a bunch in my yard. This first year ever, the storage shed I have my trash can in got ripped off the hinges, essentially. A bear just, like, popped it open and went after the trash. And it's been a bad year for garbage bears and them getting really bold, I think, because they're so hungry.
Yeah.
Right, you know. So this is a big guy who's been kind of frequenting, and, So, that's the incident. That's what happened. You're okay. A couple of little scratches. Fudge is okay. A couple little scratches. That's awesome. Great ending to the story. The bear's probably okay.
He's been back.
Pride's a little damaged, maybe. made fun of by the other bears.
Yeah.
Yeah, he came around the next day around 9 in the morning.
Okay. Okay.
He's been around.
But what's happened now? I mean, I know we don't need to get specific here, but what has happened in your life? This is a 20-second incident we're talking about, essentially, right? I mean, from beginning to end. And so you've got TV producers, you've done radio interviews with, like, Chicago and other places. What other stuff's been happening? What's going on?
Yesterday my phone was being blown up by not just TV producers, but I've got, like, 100 new Facebook friends.
I'm one of them.
My Facebook.
Very proud to be one of them.
And just everybody on my Facebook profile with, you're my hero. And I feel like I didn't do anything abnormal. Like, I feel like anybody in that circumstance would do it. Maybe not anybody.
Well, it is funny, isn't it? Funny to when you have these sudden moments in your life, and then you try to think back on, like, what was I thinking? What was I thinking? And in some ways, it doesn't even it's not even like a process that you, right? It's just something you just do. But you do have to be set up to be a person who, you know, we'll do that. You didn't shrink. I mean, it is admirable. You didn't shrink away from it. You went after it. We're not advocating punching bears, people. Don't try this at home.
No, it's not a good idea.
Kids. Don't punch bears. I can see this being a new phenomena or something. Crazy.
Thank you.
I think it was a
Jackass.
Well,
Jackass 5 comes out. It's a bear punching episode.
I think they've already done that.
Yeah, that's true. It's like the end of Anchorman, right?
A well-written story that the media has kind of taken it off to. There's so much bad stuff in the news lately that, you know, something positive.
Oh, sure.
It's a little humorous, you know, I mean.
And people have a fascination with Alaska and with, you know, all that stuff as well. And so it's a natural, but I mean, we were saying earlier, how are they going to make a sitcom out of this 20-second incident, right? Every episode, every week, another bear comes around. This is getting repetitive. Come on. Well, that's awesome. Thanks so much for coming in. Thanks for letting us talk to you about this. I know it's ridiculous, right, how much your kind of life's changed from this one little incident. And maybe, I'm thinking maybe, you know, in a few months, life will be back to normal, but it'll be fun to see what see where you ride this and see what people are interested in it and all that. And it's exciting. So, Brooke Collins, thanks so much for coming in, letting us know about it. And thanks for doing your part to control the bear issue in Juneau, Alaska. And Regan, thanks to you as well. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
All right. Let's get back to some music. Of course, we're going to play Survivor, Eye of the Tiger.
Time is 3:16, and you are tuned to KTOO News in Juneau. Thank you, Andy Klein, for that special bear report. And you can catch that on YouTube as well by going to KXLL's website. In the studio with me now is Steve McFeeters, here to talk about the Holy Trinity Church in McFeeters Hall Grand Opening Celebration this Sunday. Steve, thank you very much for coming down to the station today.
And thank you, Jeff. We appreciate being here. We owe Juneau a great debt of thanks for they're opening up their hearts and their pocketbooks to see that we were able to get to this point of having this opening. And it's our way of really expressing our gratitude to the whole community for what they have done to support us in our rebuilding. So we are anxious to have this on Sunday. It's starting at 1 and it's going until 5 o'clock. We have all sorts of activities planned. We'd like to have people experience the acoustics that are currently in the church with this timber frame construction. And so we'll have some wonderful, talented music performing at about 2 o'clock. And then 3 o'clock, we move on down to the McFeeters Hall, which we're very, very pleased that it continues the name. And there, the Theater in the Rough will be doing a sampling of Midsummer Night Dreams. So we have a full afternoon planned, and we hope the community will turn out for us.
For people who aren't aware of the tragedy that befell the church, could you go over the history lesson, please?
Yes, I will. Back in 2006, unfortunately, a young man became angry with life and ended up starting a fire, which ultimately destroyed not only McFeeters Hall, but the Episcopal Church as well and some other surrounding houses. And at that point, we had to kind of pull ourselves up by the bootstraps and begin rebuilding, and like I say, the community has responded very, very positively to our rebuilding effort, and we're now we're taking a big sigh of relief and thinking that, by golly, we're at the point where we can enjoy the facility, and we want the community to enjoy it with us.
Well, it's a beautiful facility. I've seen the Holy Trinity Church, but I haven't been down at McFeeters Hall yet.
Well, the McFeeters Hall has a stage with a wing out in front of it, and I think you'll find it to be a very nice facility for local concerts, and we hope that organizations who are looking for space to not only perform before meetings and so forth will also come on Sunday and take a look at the facilities that we have and consider them to be used. As after all, we know that McFeeters Hall was a center of the community for many, many, up to 50 years or so. And we're pleased to say that we're back online and up and ready to operate again.
What's the process of reconstruction been like?
It's been very slow. It's as folks probably has walked by there early on, you saw nothing but the timber frames, which was a beautiful structure. In fact, there were some people expressing the fact that we shouldn't put any walls on it, just have the timber frames because they were so beautiful. But there's been some slow times. There's been times when we've run out of money. But thanks to Rasmussen and the Murdoch Foundation, they've come forward and really helped us in a tremendous amount to be able to complete the facility, all except for the kitchen. We have yet the kitchen to complete, but we're positive and feel very promising that that's going to happen.
What's it been like for the congregation? I imagine a lot of negative things happen, but a lot of positive stuff comes out of it, too.
A lot of positive things happened. I think it pulled us all together very, very, very close. It's more like a family now than ever have been because, you know, out of tragedy, there is also some glory as well and some promise. And certainly folks came back to the church ready to rebuild. And although we had to do our services elsewhere for 5 years or so, we certainly held together and planned together, and all the committees and the people that volunteered to step forward and take responsibility for various parts of the construction have really done a stellar job, and they're certainly to be thank-you'd. And again, this will be an opportunity to meet those folks and to express the thank you to them as well.
About how much money did it cost so far? I guess you still have some work to do.
We still have some bookkeeping to do on it, and we still have some finishing to do. But it'll run about $1.6 million when the final thing is done, and possibly a little more than that. So we're, but as I say, the kitchen is yet to be done. But really, for the church itself and the meeting rooms and McPheeters Hall, we're up and running. And I know some folks were there at the hall for the local jazz and classics concert and found that there wasn't very good ventilation because there were 126 people sitting there, and we didn't quite have the vent up and running yet, but we can assure everybody now that when you have 126 people in there, there'll be proper ventilation and you'll be able to sit there in comfort and enjoy the show.
I've been talking with Steve McPheeters about the Holy Trinity Church in McPheeters Hall grand opening celebration going on this Sunday, 4th of September. You want to go over the timeline one more time, please?
The time will be at 1 to 5 o'clock, and there's all sorts of activities that will be running all day long. We're going to have chalk drawing on the sidewalks outside. We're going to have balloon blowing. We're going to have possibly a clowns running through, and then also the rest of us will be offering guides to folks who want to see all the facility.
And Steve, thank you for coming by. Is there anything you'd like to add I might have forgotten to ask?
The only thing that we'd like to say again, would just reiterate the fact that the community has done such a wonderful job of stepping forward and supporting us that we just want to give them a tremendous thank you and encourage them to come out and be with us on Sunday and let us show our appreciation to the people of Juneau.
And thank you for coming down to the station today, Steve.
Thank you, Jeff.
It's 3:24, and you are tuned to KTOO News in Juneau. Thanks to Scott Burton for finding that old song there. In the studio with us now is Heather Parker from the Learning Connection here to talk about a free naturalization information session happening this Friday, the 2nd of September, from 4:30 to 5:30 p.m. at the Learning Connection at the Southeast Regional Resource Center. Heather, thank you very much for coming down to the station today.
Thanks for having me.
So could you go in a nutshell what the process of becoming a U.S. citizen is?
To become a U.S. citizen, a person has to be a lawful permanent resident of the United States, which means they have to have something called a green card. For 5 years or 3 years if they're married to a U.S. citizen, they also have to meet some other requirements as to how long they've been in the United States, the number of trips that they've taken. And once they meet those requirements, they can turn in an application called a N-400 application. It's like 10 pages of some pretty difficult questions. And they also have to pay a fee. And then 3 months later, they might get an interview with someone from U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services. And during that interview, they'll go over the application. They'll demonstrate that they're able to speak English. They'll also have to take a writing test, and they have to have a knowledge of civics questions. So U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services has selected 100 questions on American government and history, and they also have answers to all of those questions. And so someone who's applying for citizenship has to study all of the questions and know the answers that U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services has provided and be able to answer 6 of them correctly during the interview.
And this is a free information session happening this Friday from 4:30 until 5:30 p.m. at the Learning Connection. Who is this aimed for directly, specifically?
The information session is open for the public. I think it's great to know about the process of becoming a U.S. citizen, but I especially invited are those people who are interested in applying for citizenship.
And it's free.
And it's free. It's at the Learning Connection at 210 Ferry Way. If you have any questions, you can give me a call, Heather Parker, at 586-5718. And, we're at 210 Ferry Way. And it should be just an hour. Someone from U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services will be actually providing the presentation. So she's a great resource. She's the person who does the interview, so she'll be able to give some insight on, you know, what you should bring to the interview, what you can expect. She has a lot of really great information.
All right, Heather Parker, thank you for coming down. Is there anything you'd like to add I might have forgotten to ask?
No, just a reminder that we have free English and citizenship classes going on through September. The Learning Connection also offers a lot of different services. There's free computer classes that just started today. You can come to our center to get a GED or improve your reading and math skills. And if you have any questions, again, our phone number is 586-5718. Thanks so much for having me.
Many's the time I've been mistaken, and many times confused. Yes, and I've often felt forsaken, and certainly misused. Oh, but I'm all right, I'm all right, just weary to my bones. Still, you don't expect to be bright and bold, devout, so far away from home, so far away from home. I don't know a soul who's not been battered. I don't have a friend who feels at ease. I don't know a dream that's not been shattered or driven to its knees. Oh, but it's all right, it's all right, for we lived so well so long. Still, when I think of the road we're traveling on, I wonder what's gone wrong. I can't help it, I wonder what's gone wrong. And I dreamed I was dying. I dreamed that my soul rose unexpectedly, looking back down at me, smiling reassuringly.
and I dreamed I was flying. And high up above, my eyes could clearly see the Statue of Liberty sailing away to sea. And I dreamed I was flying. For we come on the ship they call the Mayflower. We come on the ship that sails the moon. We come in the ages most uncertain hours and sing an American tune. Oh, and it's alright. It's alright, it's alright. You can be forever blessed. Still, tomorrow's gonna be another working day. Trying to get some rest. That's all I'm trying to get some rest.
Paul Simon. Time is 3:31 and you are tuned to KTOO News in Juneau. September is National Recovery Month, and there's a variety of events happening in observance of that. In studio with me to talk about the events in general is Terry Tibbett, and also Janice Roberts-Coughlin, who's here to talk about the Art of Recovery show at the Silver Bow, which opens up on Friday. Thank you very much for coming down to the station, everybody.
Thanks, Jeff, for having us.
Thank you for having us.
Terry, you want to give us an overview of National Recovery Month?
Sure. Well, National Recovery Month is the month of September, and today being September 1st, this is the first day of National Recovery Month, and we're celebrating in Juneau with a variety of events, and recovery, just to make it clear, is it's National Recovery Month is recovery from mental illness and or substance abuse. So people who are recovering from any of those things are the focus, I guess, of the of Recovery Month, as well as the treatment providers, the people who provide services for people with mental illness and addiction disorders. So, anyway, that's National Recovery Month, and in Juneau we have a ton of stuff happening. The first thing is tomorrow night, the Art of Recovery art show, and it's about 10 artists, offering different pieces of art, different media, and the whole focus of the art is recovery. Again, it's all the themes throughout the whole month, and this art show, that's what the theme of the show is, too. And Janice is one of the artists that's going to be showing her art at that show starting tomorrow night at the Silver Bow Inn. There's a bunch of other stuff happening this month, too, but maybe I won't talk about that right now. If we have time at the end, I can do that.
Janice, thank you very much for coming down to the station, Janice.
You're welcome.
Could you please describe your art?
Alaska Native art with buttons and felt and beads. For my drawings are for my mom and my grandmother, and mostly my mom.
Mm-hmm. Could you talk about what medium you use? You use buttons and felt and pencil?
I've learned how to draw my own designs. I didn't know that I could draw any of them, but I did try, and I thought I would need help, but I didn't, and I actually finished it.
How did you learn that you could actually draw the designs? That must have been very spiritually uplifting.
My brother-in-law is an artist and a historian, and I was going to ask him to help me and do my drawings, but he's been so busy lately, I decided to learn on my own so that I could have my own designs, too, instead of having to bother him.
Did it take you a long time to learn, or did it something just kind of came natural?
It just came natural.
How does the process of recovery affect your art?
It's keeping me away from the bad habits that I had. and I'd rather be working on my buttons and felt and all my artwork and my drawings.
About how big are the pieces that you make?
Right now they're not too big, but they're like buttons and felt. I made a purse and a headband and another picture. And I'm working on a raven head for a vest and some more headband.
What inspires you to create art?
I wanted to get back into my culture because I left it behind me. Like in 2006, I finally came back.
How does your art help you in the process of recovery?
I noticed there was times where I did want to have a drink, but I changed my mind and I'm just having more fun working on my projects at home rather than do that. And I don't like taking breaks when I'm working because it's fun now.
How many pieces do you have in the show?
I think 3.
Could you describe them to me, please?
One is a headband that I made for a child, and I put it together with I made a list of everything on how I made it, and I didn't realize all the work I did into it. And I also made a purse. It's for like a cell phone and a wallet for anybody that, you know, wanted to use it. And instead of having to put the purse down, they could use it on the neck and put it on the side or the front and don't have to worry about your phone or paperwork.
Do you think art is something you're going to continue doing for a long time?
Oh, yes.
Why?
I've never done this before, and I'd rather do my arts and crafts than be an alcoholic like I was. I'm leaving that behind.
Good for you. I'm talking with Janice Roberts-Cocklin, who's one of the artists involved in the Art of Recovery show that's opening up Friday at the Silver Bow Inn. Terry Tabet is also in the studio with me. We do have time to go over some of the other events that are going on for Recovery Month, Terry.
Okay, sure. And let me just say real quick, besides Janice's art, there's going to be about 9 other artists, and there'll be some drawings in there, some other beadwork. People are bringing paintings. There's some wood carvings and some different media, like watercolor and acrylics and different pieces from different artists and different mediums. So there you go. I just wanted to let you guys know. But that's happening at the Silver Bow for the whole month of September. It's called the Art of Recovery Art Show, and it features artists that are either in recovery or that support recovery from either mental illness and or addiction disorders.
And what time does that open?
That opens tomorrow at 5 at the Silver Bow back room from 5 to 7, first Friday celebration, reception.
Doing a variety of other things as celebration.
Yeah, and also starting next week on Wednesdays, every month, every Wednesday in September, we're going to have films at the Gold Town Nickelodeon, and it's the Recovery Film Festival, and there's 4 different films that you can go to see on 4 different Wednesdays, and I won't go into what they are now. You can go to Gold Town Nickelodeon, their website, to find out what the films are for that, but there's posters all over town, too. But also, on Friday, September 9th, there's the Fetal Alcohol Spectrum Disorders Awareness Day, or FASD Awareness Day, promotion that's happening all over the city in restaurants. There's also an information table at the Ethel Lund Medical Center out at Search, and that's going to be educating people about what is FASD. And the restaurant promotion offers free non-alcoholic beverages to all pregnant women that come into these participating restaurants throughout Juneau. And that's September 9th. Then the next day, September 10th, is a recovery walk that goes from downtown Marine Park to Sandy Beach, and there's going to be a potluck over there and refreshments and drumming starting about 2:30. That's Saturday, September 10th. And then on Friday, do we still have enough time to keep going here?
Yeah.
On Friday, September 16th, is the Voices for Recovery Poetry Jam. That's happening at the Canvas. It's a competition-style poetry jam where you bring your poems and you compete. But they're also going to have a non-competitive section, too, for people who just want to read. And again, that's on Friday, September 16th at the Canvas, starting at 6:30. And then on Friday, September 30th, the last day of the month, we're having at the Juno Arts and Culture Center a big party called Sober Fest. And there'll be live music there from Kari Groban and the Wrist Rockets. And there's also going to be pizza for a very nominal price and soda pop and non-alcoholic beverages. And there'll be live music from a singer-songwriter, Rick Haglin. There'll be the Addiction and Mental Health Professionals Awards and hula hooping and a bunch of stuff happening. Oh, and information tables for all the different recovery organizations in town that provide recovery services. So, anyway, that's pretty much what's happening through the month. And if anyone's interested in knowing more, you can, call 465-4765, and that is sort of the overview. You can also go to our website. It's too hard to tell over the air, though. But so I'd say call 465-4765, and you can get information about all the Recovery Month events. Oh, and you can also go on the Juno Arts and Culture Center calendar. They have all those events listed, too. So, and the KTOO calendar, for that matter, has them. So if you go to www.ktoo.org and click on calendar, you can look and see what's happening for Recovery Month all the month of September.
Terry Tippett, thank you very much for coming down. And Janice Roberts-Cocklin, thank you so much for being here and sharing your words with us.
Thank you for having me, too.
Thanks, Jeff.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Thursday. It's the 1st of September, 2011. It was on this day, 1859, a massive solar superstorm took place, a massive solar flare, the sun producing a mass ejection of magnetized plasma, which reached the Earth in just under 18 hours. Telegraph wires began shorting out. Fires started. Communications disrupted in North America and Europe. Compasses were useless. The northern lights seen as far south as Cuba and Hawaii. And people in the northeast United States could read the newspaper by the light of the aurora, the sun twice as bright. Subsequent solar storms have caused satellites and broadcast stations and cell phones to malfunction. They've disrupted GPS systems on airplanes, even knocked out entire power grids. It's the anniversary of the opening of the Boston T, the Boston subway system, 1897. It was the first subway in North America. It was dug in a hurry, and workers dug too close to the old common burial ground and ended up accidentally exhuming more than 900 bodies. And it was on this date in 1902 the silent film A Trip to the Moon was released in France, written and directed by Georges Méliès, based on Jules Verne's From the Earth to the Moon and H.G. Wells's The First Men in the Moon, about a group of astronomers traveling to the moon and meeting a group of aliens. They traveled on a spacecraft shaped like a bullet, which was fired from a giant cannon. Here's a poem for today by Mae Swenson, entitled The James Bond Movie. The popcorn is greasy, and I forgot to bring a Kleenex, a pill that's a bomb inside the stomach of a man inside the embassy blows up. Eructations of flame, luxurious cauliflowers, giganticize into motion. The entire 29-foot screen is orange as crackling flesh and brick bursting, blackening, smithereened. I unwrap a dentine, and while jouncing my teeth in rubber tongue smarting clove, try with the 2-inch wide paper to blot butter off my fingers. a bubble bath, room-sized, in which 14 girls, delectable and sexless, twist-topped creamy freezes, their blonde, red, brown, pinkish, lavender, or silver wiglets, all screwed that high and varnished, scrub-tickle a lone male whose chest has just the right amount and distribution of curly hair. He's nervously pretending to defend his modesty. His crotch, below the waterline, is also below the frame. But unsubmerged, all 28 slick, foamy boobs, their makeup fails to let the girls look naked. Caterpillar lashes, black and thick, lush lips, glossed pink like the gum I pop and chew. Contact lenses on the eyes that are mostly blue. Their nose, perfect replicas of each other. I've got most of the grease off and onto this little square of paper. I'm folding it now, making creases with my nails. The James Bond Movie by Mae Swanson, from New and Selected Things Taking Place, published by Little Brown and used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac, supported by the Poetry Foundation, publisher of Poetry Magazine. You can read the current issue of Poetry or listen to the monthly editor's podcast at poetryfoundation.org. Produced by Kathy Roach and Nick Vetter. Be well, do good work, and keep in touch.
Tonight on 360 North, it's Rain Country Reflections at 8, followed at 8:30 by the Oregon Field Guide. Then at 9 o'clock, join Ann Sechrist and her guest, financial advisor Justine Whitman, as they discuss long-term care insurance on AARP Alaska. At 10, it's the final episode of New England Maritime Heritage, Storm Warriors, documenting the heroic work of the U.S. Life-Saving Service established in 1848. All this and more tonight on 360 North.
Support comes from listeners like you and from the Juno Artist Gallery, a cooperative featuring the work of over 25 local artists and artisans. The Juno Artist Gallery is open year-round and daily during the summer, located downtown in the Senate Building.
Time is 3:47 and you are tuned to KTOO News in Juno here on a Juno afternoon. Last guest for today is Nancy DeTourney from the Juno Arts and Humanities Council, telling us what's up these days.
Boy, is it a busy weekend.
Let's go.
Fasten your seatbelts.
I got mine ready to go.
All righty then. Well, the first little thing I want to mention is there's a scavenger hunt going on. Have you talked to the Perseverance Theater people?
No.
Well, they have. You know, they're doing 39 steps. And you will maybe notice around town, if you're alert, little 3x2 black posters with that silhouette of Alfred Hitchcock on them. There are 39 of them, and if you are able to find all of them, and I think you might have to be the first one to do this, you could win 2-season passes to the Perseverance Theater season.
I'm leaving now. You do this, Nancy.
I understand that it's all done on this iPad over here, so we'll be good. All right, so well, I bring that up because this is going to be First Friday tomorrow, and you could be doing... You could be multitasking. You could be doing First Friday, and you could be doing the little scavenger hunt thing. So anyway, that's sort of a kickoff to the whole thing. First Friday's huge this week, and it's going to be a glorious day, just like today, sunny and hot. At 4 o'clock, Artifacts, which is on 237 Front Street, it's like right across from First National Bank down there. Jim Hopkins has new works, but sadly this is also his last show. He will be closing up shop and going somewhere else. So do stop in and check out Jim's new work and also say goodbye and say thanks to him. Also at 4 o'clock, roller derby referee non-skating official rules training will be happening at the Valley Library. It's off-skate rules. If you want more information about becoming a roller derby referee, 503-779-7000. 9430. They have three sessions all through this weekend. So, okay, first Friday. Over at the Jack, it's nuts. We have in the gallery Carol Baker, fabulous watercolors. We have photographer Rachel Donahue with these amazing sort of fairy tale-like photos. And in the main hall, we have Sam McLean's watercolors of the Russian Orthodox churches. Amazing stuff going on over there. Do you guys have something going on over here? I was unable to get that information.
We're going to be doing some quilts in the next couple of months, but they aren't hung yet.
Oh, okay. So anyway, stop in at the Juno Arts and Humanities Council, pick up your little guide, and then spend some time looking at all of these amazing pieces of artwork that we've got over there. And then go over to the Alaska State Museum, which is free on First Fridays. They're playing with the X-ray gun. It's very sci-fi, and I'm very excited about it. You can bring little pieces of metal objects, and Ellen and Scott Carley there will do this sort of Buck Rogers thing and tell you what they're made out of. It's very exciting. As well, at 5:30, Dick Wood will be doing a guided tour through their early Alaskan photography exhibit, which is fabulous. If you haven't had a chance to see it, I really recommend that. So that's what you're doing there. And then you're going to walk on over to Marine Way. Jewelry by Angie Lawler is at the Kodiak Coke Company, which is opened above Paradise Cafe. In the Ruby Room, which is there by the Goldtown Nickelodeon between the Goldtown and Heritage Coffee, Avon Handley-Merck and Kate Laster. Bob Kienitzer, who works in stone, limestone, granite, and marble, is at the Juno Artist Gallery, which is in the Senate Building. And also in the Senate Building is a brand new place, Figment, and they have a show featuring octopuses, or octopi, I'm not sure. Anyway, then from there you walk to Gallery in the North, Mike Dobson's Photography, Ravensong Gallery, which is at 127 South Franklin Street, has a bunch of new works by various artists. Iris Korhonen Penn has photography at the Franklin Street Gallery at the Baranoff Hotel. Heritage 2nd Street has a show going on, but I'm not sure who's showing in that one. I couldn't get that information. At the City Museum, Metamorphosis, there are four local jewelers, Rebecca Bush, Amy Fletcher, Deb Gregoire, and Jenna O'Fontanella. They all took a class at the Canvas from Rowan Law, and they just went nuts making jewelry. So go on up to the City Museum and see that. Coming back down the hill to the Canvas, Kaylin Bettner-Burke has drawings, bars on my windows, windows in your Econo bars. At the Silver Bow Backroom, it's the Art of Recovery. At the Rookery, it is Nick Adams Photography. And then from 7 to 8, George and Bridget Kuhar are playing music. At Annie Kale's, it's amazing artwork by Arnie Weimer. That's a lot of stuff. It's quite a walk.
It is, but it should be fun.
It's going to be great fun. If you don't care for walking, at 5 o'clock out at the Stadter Harbor, you could be taking the Whale Watching Cruise, which is a benefit for the Juno Pride Chorus. The tickets are available at the Jack, Hearthside, downtown in the Valley, and online. Tickets are $50 or $25 for kids. That starts at 5, so be out there before that. Tom Loker and Wayne Norland up at the Timberline Grill and Dan Hobson at the Baranoff. And the Goldtown Nickelodeon is showing beginners. And let's see, it's sit-in with the band night because it's First Friday. That starts at 9:30 over at the Rendezvous with Jason Caputo.
Did you mention the Mountain Music Festival on top of the tram?
Nobody told me about that. When is that? That's this week?
It's Friday night.
Every year they forget to tell me.
You listen to my radio show tomorrow as opposed to working like you usually do. And you could find out because Elva will be here at 3:30.
I'll be having First Friday.
Be that way.
All right. So, and then bright and early, Saturday morning at 8 o'clock, the St. Nicholas Orthodox Church is having a rummage sale over at the Jack. This whole weekend, they're doing all sorts of things. It's a fundraising effort in order to help with the reconstruction and renovations of the church. So that's at 8 o'clock until 2 at the Jack. At 2 o'clock, you can go on another whale-watching cruise out at set sail with the symphony. They will have wine, It's a wine tasting provided by Specialty Imports. There will be music. There will be whales, and be out at the Stadter Harbor no later than 1:45 probably. Their tickets are also $50. You can call or come to the Jack and get your tickets, go to the bookstores, and also get them online. At 4 o'clock, it's the second of the roller derby referee training. This will be at the Jack with off-skate rules. At 6 o'clock, Tom and Wayne are over at TK McGuire's, and Goldtown Nickelodeon is showing the beginners. I feel like that we missed. What did we miss on that day? Something.
I don't know. It must be something.
Must be something. Sunday at 11 o'clock, roller derby will be on skate scrimmaging rules and scenarios. And I think that this is at Marie Drake. It's not at the Jack. But if you want more information about becoming this roller derby referee, 503-779-9430. And at noon, the St. Nicholas Orthodox Church will have a fry bread sale at the Jack on the lawn. At 1 o'clock, it's an open, I know what we forgot, Saturday is the opening of the Holy Trinity mustard seed thing, right? I believe so.
And they're having a special grand opening celebration on Sunday.
They are having that too, but they also have stuff happening on Saturday. It's the festive tea and the mustard seed opening. The reason I know that is because I picked up the wrong copy of this. At 2 o'clock on Sunday, it is the grand reopening of McFeeters Hall. I think it's at 1 o'clock. There's the blessing of the church, and then at 2 p.m. there's choral performances, and at 3 p.m., Theater in the Rough will do various scenes from Shakespeare. It is so nice to see that this McFeeters Hall and Holy Trinity are back up and running. I'm so excited and really proud of the community for pulling that one together. Nickelodeon is showing, they're having Sunday afternoon matinees for kids. They have the Red Balloon and White Mane this Sunday. It's, I think, at 2 o'clock. They're also showing Last Mountain. On Monday, it's Labor Day, so everybody has the holiday off. At 4 o'clock, Zool Bailey and Awadajan Pratt will be in concert at the UAS Egan Library. Tickets are on sale now. By the way, you can just come on First Friday and get your tickets for everything. Season tickets for the symphony, Perseverance, we'll have ours ready. Just come on down, get all your tickets for the whole year. But also, plan to go to the Zool Bailey thing. They're on a CD tour. They just released a CD of Brahms, and so that's what they'll be featuring.
A quick note that Zool Bailey will be live on KTOO with Larry West Sunday night at 6 o'clock on KRNN.
Excellent. I'm looking. There's Tuesday. There's all of the usual. There's Haiku on the Street. There's the walking tours are still going on. Toastmasters at 6:15 out at the St. Paul's Church. Swing dance lessons at the Canvas. By the way, the Canvas is closed for the Labor Day holiday. On Wednesday, we have at 7 o'clock, Wildlife Wednesdays. I think they're going to do several of these little talks. One at this Wednesday will be the Mendenhall Flood, What Happened, Why, and What's Next. Aaron Hood, Aaron Jacobs, and Tom Matisse will present this. It is offered by the, or put together by the Alaska Wildlife Alliance. This is at the UAS Glacier View Room, and it's free. If you want more information about that, 523-5402. There's a whole bunch of the usual stuff, but I think we just need to get ready for tomorrow.
Gallery walk. All right, First Friday. Nancy DeTourney, thank you for coming down.
Thanks for having me.
Time is 3:58, and you are tuned to KTOO News in Juneau. We broadcast at 104.3 FM in downtown Juneau and Douglas. KTOO also broadcasts on these translators. In the Valley and Hawke Bay area, tuned to K276 AF at 103.1. In Lemon and Schweitzer Creek, K269 AO at 101.7. Gustavus listens on K201 AM 88.1. K220 BT serves Hoonah at 91.9. In Excursion Inlet and Icy Strait, you can hear KTOO on K210 AS 89.9. Also live online at www.ktoo.org. Tomorrow, 3 on a Juneau afternoon, we'll talk with Zool Bailey, appearing in concert with Awadajan Pratt this coming Monday at the University of Alaska Southeast Egan Library. Iris Cohen and Finn and Jane Stokes will be here to highlight their show opening Friday at the Franklin Street Gallery at the Baranoff Hotel. And Elva Bontrager will be here with a word about the tomorrow night's Mountain Music Festival at the top of the tram. That Writer's Almanac Music and more tomorrow at 3 on a Juno afternoon. With the forecast for tonight, becoming partly cloudy in the early evening with areas of fog later on, low temperatures around 44 degrees with light winds. Areas of fog predicted for Friday morning, mostly cloudy skies with rain developing in the afternoon and high temperatures around 53 degrees. You've been listening to a Juno afternoon today. Thank you for tuning in. Coming up next is All Things Considered. Have a great evening.